Pray everything was well. Open your Bibles to James. James, and we're going to be in the fourth chapter of James this morning. Fourth chapter of James. We are continuing our study in James. But while you turn there, let's have a brief moment of prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning as humble as I know how, asking you, Lord, to prepare our hearts, prepare our minds for a word from you. Lord, I would ask that none of us leave this place the same way that we came. I would ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will move freely among us, Lord. Convict us of sin, Lord. Encourage us. I pray, Lord, that the message that you give us this morning, we would apply it to our lives, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we not only be hearers, but be doers of your word as well. I confess, Lord, that I am not worthy to stand in front of your people and tell them anything that you say. But I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for your mercy, and thank you for the opportunity to be used by you. And I ask you that you would use me this morning as a vessel. Speak through me, Lord. I pray that I would decrease while you increase. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. But before we read, there was an Eskimo fisherman that came to town every Saturday afternoon. And he always brought his two dogs with him. One was white, and the other one was black. He had taught these dogs to fight on command. Every Saturday afternoon in the town square, the people would gather and these two dogs would fight and the fishermen would take bets. On one Saturday, the black dog would win. Then another Saturday, the white dog would win. But the fisherman, he always won. So his friend began to ask him, How do you do this? How are you doing this? And he said, well, I starve one and I feed the other. The one I feed always wins because he is stronger. This story here about these two dogs tells us something about the inner warfare that comes into the life of a person who is a born again believer. We have two natures within us, both struggling for mastery. The question is, which one of these natures is going to dominate us? And the answer we learn from our fishermen is, it depends on the one in which we feed. Pastor James ended chapter 3 by stressing that the peace that results from heavenly wisdom, But here in chapter 4, he makes a shift. And he emphasizes the strife so common among many of us believers here today. James begins to address the issue of fighting and quarreling. And he says it all stems from our unsatisfied, selfish desires. Instead of wrestling with God in prayer, often we are fighting and quarreling with one another. So let's read these 12 verses. I don't believe that we're going to get through 12 verses. And I first want to give you a warning. These first 4 to 5 verses here are a very strong rebuke. It's not all the best of news that we're going to receive, but there is good news starting in verse 6. So don't walk away feeling beat down if we don't make it through verse 4 or 5. So he says in verse 1, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealousy over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks evil against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but you are a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? This morning, as we're moving through this passage of scripture here, I want you to keep one thing in mind. And that one thing I want you to keep in mind is this question or this statement. Can't we all just get along? Could we all just get along? So as we move through, think about that. So James asks this question in verse 1. He says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? He's talking to believers here. He's talking to you and he's talking to me. What causes this? The terms James uses here for this conflict come from the language of warfare, but can also be used as powerful imagery for the destructiveness of relationships where violent attitudes have broken out unchecked. So let's think about this for a moment. What is it that really causes fights and quarrels among us? Why is it that we have a problem with one another? Why is that? Why is it we have something against other people? Is it because these other individuals have wronged me? Could it be that I don't like how they look at me? Maybe it's the way they talk, or they don't talk like I talk. Maybe it's because they have a different view on things than the view that I have. Maybe it's the clothes that they wear. I don't like the way they dress. Is this why we fight? We quarrel and we have conflict? Are these all some of the reasons? Understand that we have all fell victim to pointing the finger at the other person at one time or another. We have all said, well, if they hadn't have done this or said this, I wouldn't have done or said that. But James says, no, stop right there. That's not it. It is not that other individual. It is not that other person. James tells us to look in the mirror. Look at what he says. Is it not this? That your passions are at war within you. James says none of those other things are true. The reason why that we can't all get along is there's a war going on, and this war is going on within each and every one of us. This is something that's going on the inside. A war with our passions, our lust, or our desires. This is the fight against our worldliness versus the holiness we obtain through drawing near to God. Let's look at that word, desires. The Greek word for desires is the source of the English word hedonism. That is the doctrine that views pleasure or happiness as the chief goal of life. That is to say that whatever makes me feel good, if what he or she is wearing or saying doesn't make me feel good, I don't get any pleasure out of it, it's going to cause conflict and bickering and fighting. James sees these pleasures as residing within his readers as the overriding desires of all of our lives. Therefore, even Peter calls us into action in 1 Peter 2:11 when he says, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your souls. So let's stop right here just for a moment. And let's back up for a minute. We know that these Jews had been dispersed. This is who James is writing to. The Jews that had been dispersed. They are in the midst of being persecuted by the Romans, right? I mean, we've been in the class, so we know this, right? So in the midst of all of this, what had begun to happen with these brothers and sisters, they had started to see, number one, what the Romans had and what was going on and what the Romans was doing to them. And they had started to fall into this life of wanting to live exactly how they was living, a materialistic type of life. So we have to understand why James is saying this, and we have to see his concern. James understands that these passions or desires when within all of us here today, as well as with them, that I got to get mine attitude, and I don't care who I step on in order to get it attitude, it leads to fighting and quarreling, backbiting, and bickering. James had this concern for his scattered believers of becoming worldly. These brothers and sisters was being persecuted by the Romans, as we just talked about. But in the midst of their persecution, they had begun to behave like those who was persecuting them. James says that these things ought not to be. And I ask the question again. Can't we all just get along? What does it matter what this one has or that one has? What does it matter? So let's look at this a little deeper. James goes on to tell us in verse 2, he says, you desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. He says, you do not have because you do not ask. And then he says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. James is bringing to light one of the sources of conflict between us. And like we've already said, it's materialism. And he says, what we do is have these strong desires for something, and since we don't have it, we murder. Is he talking about we literally kill somebody? Maybe, sometimes, Miss Betty said. But we definitely do know he's saying what 1 John 3:15 says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. He is saying that that hatred that you have towards the other one is just like murdering that individual. We covet and we can't get it, so the fighting begins. We see what God has blessed other folks with, and now we want it. And there is nothing wrong with wanting God to bless us, but there is something seriously wrong with desiring wrongfully, inordinately, or without due regard for the rights of others. That's coveting. That's breeding an envious, jealous heart. But what do? We try to cover it up. We say things like, don't nobody need all that stuff. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. What are they going to do with all of that? And I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, that we got to know that God will bless us and wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. It is not going to get us anywhere by looking at our peers around us and becoming jealous and envious and having a desire to have what they have. And since you don't have it, it creates this animosity in you, and you act differently towards that individual. You know, we do that. We have some deep-rooted stuff within us, and it may not show on the surface, but in our flesh, that happens. And it causes strife and conflict. And there's many other things that this happens with as well. Like those secondary issues within the congregation, within the church. We have all the main doctrines intact. We all believe and all on the same accord, but we get these secondary issues that start to breed in the body of the believers, and that's how the conflict and fighting begins, and that's how ultimately church splits happen. From secondary issues. I don't want to really dig deep into that right now, but all that applies to what James is talking about with this fighting and quarreling. And one of the issues James is pointing out here is the materialism, the desires and passions that we have. Okay, let's keep moving. All right. James goes on to explain the reason why we don't have what we are coveting or desiring. He says, first, you do not have because you do not ask. Okay. King James says, you have not because you ask not. We haven't been on our knees in prayer asking God to give us that thing that we want. We have been lusting and fighting. If we are constantly fighting, quarreling, disagreeing, backbiting, and bickering, where does that leave time for prayer and drawing near to God? If we're living a life of quarreling and backbiting and fighting, where is there time to draw near to God? It seems to me, if there's no time to draw near to God because of these things, we are becoming more and more worldly. We have more of the world's view in our mind, and we are aligning ourselves with what's going on in the world versus where we should be aligning ourselves. Amen? James has this concern for them. And we ought to have this same concern and be careful and watch ourselves so that we don't fall into this worldliness. How could we be making our requests made known to God and God be granting those requests if I am wrapped up with what everybody else has or is doing or saying? But then we say, well, you know, I pray, I cry out to God, I ask God to bless me with this, that, or the other. I ask him to move these different situations out of my life. But James says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Our motives are all wrong, James says. We don't plan or have no plans at all to be a blessing to others. We only have self in mind. We have the purpose of using what we ask God for on our own pleasures. James says we want to spend what God would bless us with on things we want for ourselves just to have them. To put it another way, often when we pray, we are praying for God to bless us with stuff so we could just keep up with the Joneses. Just want to be like everybody else. If that's not a worldly attitude, I don't know what that is. James says, be careful. As Brother Marcel says, be careful. If you see this happening in your life, you ought to be concerned. You see, when we pray like this, we are using prayer as a means of gratification. We're wanting to gratify the flesh rather than praying and asking God for something to help us and build others up and to please him. As a result of this, what does James say? What did he call us? He gets real, real rough on us. He says, you adulterous people. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. you adulterous people. That's a strong rebuke right there. No matter how bold, blunt, or shocking it may be, James says, we are cheating on God. And he needed to awaken his readers to their true spiritual condition. The people of the Old Testament are considered the wife of the Lord over in Jeremiah 31:32. But us, New Testament Christians, we are the bride of Christ, according to Ephesians 5. James says that some of us are being spiritually unfaithful. We are in this condition because we have aligned ourselves with the world. We are wanting and desiring what the world wants. And it has resulted into all of this fighting and quarreling. James says that by its very nature, friendship with the world is hatred toward God. That is to adapt the world's values, to adapt to what the world wants. Have we ever found ourselves, if we're really honest, have we ever found ourselves clinging to things of this world? Do we have any desires inside of us that needs to be checked? We need to really take a long, hard look at? Because all of us, none of us are perfect. We all have this flesh that we fight against daily. Is there something in our life that is causing a rift with another believer or with anybody? Is there something that we need to take a look at? This is the concern that James has. This is why he's writing so sternly and so boldly with this rebuke. This is the question he's raising. And I believe that all of us need to take a step back and really examine ourselves. Really examine our motives. Our motives in our prayers. Our motives in dealings with other believers and in the body. This is the concern that James has. So let us not just peruse through these verses. Let us take a long, hard, prayerful look at what he's saying, and how does that affect us in our life today. Now, this verse number 5, this very next verse, I really want to get some input and thoughts on this next verse. I'm very glad Bill Kroll is here, one of our elders, so he can really shed some light. This verse here says, or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? So that "or" in there is connecting that verse to everything that he just said, which I believe when he talked about you adulterous people, you're cheating on God. But as I was studying this, it's a lot of controversy over this verse. I believe that because of God putting his spirit in us and we began to align ourselves with the world, our God is a jealous God. He begins to get very jealous over that. What are your thoughts on that verse? Because there is some weird stuff about that verse that kind of threw me for a loop. And I want to know what your thoughts are. What do you see that verse as saying? I have my belief, but I could be wrong. What does it mean that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? What does that mean? In light of what James is talking about in those first four verses. And actually, you can add the whole last chapter as well. Is all tied together. Brother Brock.
Now, I would think that he's basically getting at what you were saying, that, you know, we have the Spirit dwelling within us, and the Spirit's grieved when sins like this are taking place in us. And so the Spirit then lusts for us to subdue or put away that sin, that we might walk in the power of the Spirit and glorify God.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Well, in light of what you've been talking about, in light of what you're talking about in this passage, he's talking about whether or not we're really in the world or of the Spirit.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right.
We're either in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit. And what he's talking about here is that the world itself, and you got to go to 1 John where he speaks about the same thing.
Yes.
You know, love not the world, because the world is the lust of the eyes, lust
yes.
of the flesh,
yes.
and the pride of life.
Amen.
You know, and that's what he's saying right here. So the Spirit's been given to us, and we are no longer to follow the things of the world.
Yes.
We're really going to be of God. We need to be following, loving him with all our hearts, and not giving in to our old nature that
mm-hmm.
really is enmity against God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But praise God for the new nature.
Amen. Amen. And that is absolutely what I believe as well. So, in other words, if we are... in the midst of this coveting or backbiting, bickering, fighting, and quarreling, that is to say, we are walking in the flesh and not walking in the Spirit, correct?
Amen.
I know you got something to say, my brother.
No.
Oh, come
no, I
on.
I agree with Bill.
Okay. I'm sorry, brother.
Found this quote here above the church fathers, and he says about this verse, what this means is that the Spirit in us tends towards fellowship with God.
Mm.
He turns us away from the love of the world and give us more grace.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, like verse 6 starts like that, he give us grace.
Yes.
Because when we choose not to follow the pattern of the world, is an act of God.
Yes.
Because without God's grace, that's exactly what we would be doing.
That's right. That's right. And that is what we're going to be getting into next week, the good news of the passage. You got something to say? And you don't have to be shy. Amen. Amen. Anybody else got any thoughts or insights or just the thoughts on these first five verses? I know these first five verses are tough, but we have to understand and we have to know that in our flesh there is no good thing, and all of us are capable of acting and being exactly like James is talking about. I believe that is why he so strongly rebukes this. This is why he so strongly tell us that we are cheating on God. So if there's nothing else, I would ask that you would ponder these things throughout the week. And then when we come back, we're going to look at the good news. We're going to look at, James gives us some imperatives, some commands on how to combat this behavior, this attitude. He tells us exactly what we need to do. He tells us exactly what we need to do. So there is good news, amen? And we are able to sustain. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this time that you gave us to go through these amazing truths that you gave us, Lord. Well, sometimes we get loose and we get lackadaisy, Lord, and we so easily forget, Lord, how corrupt our own flesh is, and it's easy to fall victim to coveting or desiring things that it's not going to do us any good or not going to better anybody else, Lord. I ask, Lord, that as this week go out through this week, Lord, you help us to really dig into these verses more, Lord, and I ask that you prepare us for the next time we meet, Lord, to learn what are we to do with this, Lord? How do we combat this or fight this? And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.